And good evening, and welcome to another edition of the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. It's a day earlier than normal due to some special Halloween activities that will be going on around the downtown area tomorrow afternoon about this time. So I'm John Coffey, Matt Gorders alongside, and Matt, another good show coming up, and it's another busy week of Bearcat Athletics.
You know, if we hadn't have told them we were full of more tricks than treats, they might have allowed us to be here for trick-or-treat night on downtown, but it's probably a better decision to get us out of the way.
Yeah, I think you're right. Good win for the Northwest football team this past weekend. A long trip out to Hayes, Kansas, but a shorter trip on the way back with the football team able to come up with a good win against Fort Hays State.
Yeah, and you always wonder how a team is going to react to any loss. But, you know, the week before, a loss on homecoming to Pittsburgh State, ending a long winning streak, that sort of thing. You always wonder how the team is going to react, and I think they reacted tremendously. When you look at them taking the first possession of the ball game, driving down, a good solid drive too. It wasn't like a quick strike. It was a good 8-play drive, covered 70 yards, and I really think that kind of set the tone for what's hopefully the next winning streak. Even though that was just one drive, I think that was maybe one of the more important drives of the season, just because it told us, you know, the team's there. They're past the loss. They're ready to move on and continue to get some wins throughout the end of this season.
And they did it against a very good Fort Hays State team, and a very much improved Fort Hays State team, what we've seen in past years, as really making some strides there facility-wise, and it's paying off with what we're seeing on the field out of Fort Hays.
Yeah, State. And, you know, they were a fast, Hayes had been, or has been, a fast starting team, and so to take away their strength right away in the ball game, I think said something as well. The guys were ready to play. Northwest got the job done, got the win. I mean, we've seen years when Hayes has been really bad and the Bearcats have struggled out there. Why? It's kind of hard to put a finger on, but it didn't happen this time around, even though Hayes is a much better football team.
And one of the things the coaching staff talked about, a very complete game, saw a lot of good things out of special teams, and as always, we're seeing a lot of good things out of the defensive side.
And that's what you need, is all three phases of the game to be clicking. You know, a lot of times people don't put as much in special teams as I think obviously coaches and players do, but it's an important part of the ball game. And, you know, even look at the punting situation for Hayes, even though Northwest didn't get a lot of blocks, they were back there, they were putting pressure. We saw some bad punts just because of the knowledge that they know what kind of pressure. And so their ability to play well on special teams precedes them, and that's going to help them game in and game out.
And up next, it's a home game as a Missouri Western comes to town. That's always a fun weekend when the Griffins come to Maryville.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know it's going to be an entertaining ball game. The rivalry's there. I don't know. It's hard to describe the matchup just because everybody is aware of the fact that they're a good team. They've had a lot of time. You know, the question coming in is, were they going to do at quarterback, replacing a four-year starter at quarterback, and they didn't have anybody really with any experience, but they've had almost a full season now, and so they've been able to work those things out. So the question marks that they may have had early in the season are gone. So I think that really helps with the matchup, the rivalry, knowing it's going to be a good football game on Saturday.
Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Our guests this evening will include a Northwest soccer coach, Tracy Hosa. We'll also talk to a senior defender on her team, and Taylor Sellers. Also, a Northwest punter, Kyle Goodburn, will join us, as well as Northwest athletic director, Mel Churchman. We'll talk a little bit of tennis and maybe some Royals baseball with Northwest tennis coach Mark Rosewell. That's all coming up during our show this evening. Reminder that support for the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the student body. Screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Again, our thanks to Carson and Renee and the waitstaff here at Carson's for all the work they do during the program. And again, if you have any questions for our guests this evening, I pass a question card up to our sideline reporter for Bearcat football over to our left, Brent Barnett, and he'll pass that along as well. Again, we'll talk Bearcat soccer coming up next as Tracy Hosa will join us and talk about the past week and the season for the Bearcat soccer team. That's coming up as the KFCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from Southpaw's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. Southpaw's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
We're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, on a Wednesday, downtown trick-or-treat night tomorrow night. So they are making sure we don't scare off any of the little ones tomorrow. John and I can tend to do that from time to time. But talking Northwest Women's Soccer, as Tracy Hosa, the head coach of the Bearcat soccer team, joins us. And, Coach, you know, last couple of weeks, results-wise, haven't been where you want them. But what have you seen over the last couple of weeks from the team?
I think Sunday would sum it up. They're resilient, and they got into a rhythm, and it was an absolute fantastic game. Probably the best game of soccer I've seen at Northwest. And just to come back from having a lot of tough losses, and even though we did lose on Sunday, we hit the post a couple of times, and we outshot Central. We had more corners than them, and we've never done that before. And they just came out fighting. With having a lot of injuries and a lot of players out this year, we really had to adapt and trying to find a way. But they've been very resilient and very understanding and very patient.
And that's one thing, you mentioned the injuries, and that's not something that you've talked a lot about. It's not something that you guys really have used as an excuse, mm-hmm. but you've got some really key players, and a lot of them that have been battling injuries.
Yep, we actually have five players that had season-ending injuries. And to mention, those were our forwards or our goal-scoring options, and all of them were. It wasn't like just one line. It was four forwards, one midfield. So it was a little bit tough trying to deal with that all season long.
Five injuries would be tough, even if you spread them throughout the team, but to group them in a position or two, it had mm-hmm. to make it just that much tougher.
It was, and... the Chelsea, Fournier, and Gianna Husband were the first two to go down at the beginning, and you don't like to see it happen, but we move on and we try and work around things, and then it progresses to another two, okay, and we try and move on, and then another one. But you got to adapt. You got to put in there for injuries. I'm just not sure that many. It's a little bit tough, and it's tough for the players. And not only is it tough for the players, it's tough for the team as well. Even though they're not going through it, sometimes they feel it.
And I think that's a real key point right there. Even the players that are playing and have to step up their role, obviously on the field, it's going to be tougher for them. But just seeing teammates go down with season-ending injuries has to be tough mentally as well.
Absolutely. They're a pretty close group, and they help each other out. And they've seen, some pretty serious injuries this year.
I've always been probably too much of an optimist, but it's tough to look at now. But I'm guessing, since this has occurred, that this can help make the future look brighter, because you are forced to use some people in some extra time they may not have had.
That's reality. It's reality that they're getting playing time quickly, and they're getting playing time And getting experience. That's the biggest thing, is getting experience. As long as we keep that positive experience, and we work on that in the spring season and in the summer. So, yes.
Obviously, being on the field and gaining experience is big, but what are some of the things that you learn on the field in a game that you just, that you can't teach or that you can't simulate in practice?
You know, and I'm sure it's with every sport. The game itself is the biggest teacher. And the biggest experience maker. It's just, you're playing, you know, under pressure. You're playing at a higher pace. There's more people watching you than in a practice. There's a little bit more at stake than a practice. You know, you can't create a game-like experience. Yes, we tell players, practice how you play. But let's be realistic. If that was the case, we'd be falling down dead every day. you know, but and it's just, it's different when it's against a different opponent and not just in practice, and there's something to go for. But playing the game is absolutely huge. And, you know, just looking at Sunday, it was like, oh, wow. We were doing one touch possession up the field, down the field, and then against the wind, we're like, oh, we might be in a little bit of trouble. After 5 minutes, bang, we're back at them, and we're fighting at them, and we're playing great possession, and, you know, got a goal up against them, and just to outshoot them and have more corners. That's, we're progressing into the final third. That's something that we couldn't do all season long. We could keep the possession, but once we got into the final third, we struggled.
Obviously, coming into the year, you had just the one senior that you recognized on senior day, so you knew that there was some youth with this team and that you were going to have a lot of people back. Do you get a feel already for who are going to have to be or who might be some key players next year, or is that something that's still kind of in the works?
You can see a little bit this year, particularly because we've one senior, that we actually have time now to recognize and observe who will be key players for us. And we have seen it throughout this season, who are, and, you know, we'll work on that in the spring. And then, you know, you bring in recruits, and just like, you know, Ashley Malloy or Hannah Getz, you know, you'll have some players that will emerge as young players as well, and you try and mix that blend together. You know, last year we lost 5 seniors, and so we had to see, okay, who were going to be the leaders, and we tried to do that, then we lose 5 players, so that's, you know, you think that's about 10 people out of the picture than what we had last year to deal with. The good news is, looking at these players now, it's like we know what we can do, plus some players who are getting a little bit more playing time, and get a few of those players back and get them back into a good playing capacity that we can see where we're going to go in the next 2 years.
We always talk about the players when situations come up like this, but I'm guessing you probably haven't dealt with this many injuries in one position as a coach. Is it a good learning experience as a coach?
Absolutely. You know, we hadn't had one particular injury in 4 years, and then in the space of 10 minutes we had 2, and they're pretty serious knee injuries, season-ending knee injuries. You know, I myself have gone through it. I personally have had a season-ending knee injury. So I've gone through it as a player, so I understand what the players are going through. You know, to have 2, we're like, okay, now we have 3, and then we have another 2 on top of that. You know, you have to deal with the best way you can. As a coach, you have to be positive. You know, the funny thing was last week, not funny, but it was really a positive thing. You know, Kelly Quinlan called and said, how are you doing? We always ask how the players doing, but how are you doing? I'm like, you know, to be honest, I'm in a little bit of awe. You know, I have no emotion right now. But Sunday I was very impressed, and we'll be fine. We'll survive.
Yeah, that's not something that I think any coach in any sport could ever prep for, losing that high of a percentage of number of players from your team.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the last couple of matches you guys have coming up this weekend, both on the road. What are the goals for the last 2 matches as you wrap up the regular season?
You know, our goals will always be the same as they were at the beginning of the season. To make conference playoff, and that's a reality. If we play well and play how we did on Sunday, and play with that confidence, and you know, the biggest thing we saw was passion and desire on Sunday, and our goals are to compete and to get points and to be in the conference playoff.
One of the matchups with Lindenwood is one that you just had. Are there some advantages to going right back after them? I mean, it was a 1-0 loss, mm-hmm. but is there some advantages to getting right back on the field against them?
Yes. You know, the first thing that the players turned around and said after Sunday was like, we played like this, we would have won. You know, it's like, it's a reality. Yes, you can. We've got to take a little bit more care of our possession and kind of compete a little bit more in the midfield, and that's what they did. So having seen them this late and knowing that we didn't play the best, that if we go out on Sunday we can compete and get a result.
And on Friday, the matchup with Western, you tied them the first time around, but what are you going to see, or what are you going to expect out of the Griffins?
You know, it's going to be their senior night. They're going to be pumped up. They've done well. They've won some close games, a lot of overtimes, and that always, you know, speaks well and kind of carries in. They'll be ready to go and ready to take us on.
Well, Coach, I know it's been tough so far, but I mean, I really think, especially with the way the team played against Central, mm-hmm. it seems like adjustments and moves and things that you guys have done have to a point anyway, be working.
They've, you know, in all fairness, the players have been, it's all on the players. They're taking things in, and they realize what they have to do and have been working on it and understand it. And you ask about what's the biggest teacher, and the game is the biggest teacher.
Well, Coach, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk to your senior.
All right, thank you.
That is Tracy Hosa, head coach of the Northwest women's soccer team. And as I mentioned, we're going to continue talking soccer. When we come back, we'll hear from the lone senior on the Bearcats soccer team, Taylor Sellers. We'll do it right after this timeout. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson's in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups and oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or at their shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. We're online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at bittersweetfloral.com or at 582-5700.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Again, a day earlier than normal due to the trick-or-treat activities in downtown Maryville tomorrow. And joined by Taylor Sellers, who is the lone senior on this year's Bearcat soccer team. And Taylor, good to have you with us here this evening.
Good to be here.
And Taylor, just kind of talk about this past Sunday. It was senior day, and you were honored there at the game. And just kind of talk about the emotions you had going through your final game at the Bearcat pitch.
Well, we basically came out and thought that it was our last home game, so we obviously wanted to get a win there. And basic motivation was, I mean, obviously it's UCM, so it'd be awesome to get a win there. So we came out and started off hard and came out and actually took it to them and competed well.
Yeah, it really sounds like, unfortunately, it was a loss, but it sounds like it was one of the better games you guys have played this year.
Yeah, it was definitely one of our better games. It obviously is unfortunate that we didn't get our win, but I think it would have gone the other way if we would have capitalized on all of our goals that we had our opportunities on.
Just talk about the 4 years that you've had at Northwest Missouri State, coming in from Platte City, and some of the reasons that, first of all, you came to the university, and just talk about your experiences here.
Obviously, I really loved the campus. I didn't really have like an official visit. I came up and watched one of the games, and really Northwest was one of my only options. Obviously, it's not too far from home. It's only about an hour, so I didn't want to be super close to my parents and have them driving up all the time. But I really liked coming in and seeing how the girls played together, and I liked the family feel, and obviously Tracy gave me a pretty good spiel, so that's basically
it. And as far as just some of the highlights, just talk about some of the highlights you had as a player.
I think my favorite memory was going to the conference my freshman year. That was obviously a good start for my 4 years here, very memorable. It's too bad we haven't made it back so far, but hopefully we can come out this next week and get some points and catch the eighth spot.
And let's just kind of talk about you being a senior on this team, where that's a very young squad this year, and in a senior leadership type of role. What are some of the things you try to do with to help out the younger players coming through the program?
I tried to just like set a good example. I didn't obviously go out and do anything that would jeopardize our chances, and I tried to just keep the girls focused on what our goal was from the beginning of the season. We would have meetings on our own outside of practice and talk about what our goals were, and I wanted to make sure that everyone stayed on the, like, kept those in mind as the season went on, and reminding them of those, just stuff like that.
All right, and again, you're coming up on the road this weekend, a couple of important games coming up. As you mentioned, still a lot to play for in the last two games, and a chance to try to get into the NCAA tournament. Just talk about what you're looking for this weekend.
We're obviously looking out to go out and get two wins, gain as many points as possible. If we do win our last two games, we'll get 6 points and hopefully clinch that eighth spot, like I said. But obviously for that to happen, other teams have to lose, which hopefully, fingers crossed, that happens. But if we come out and play out like we did on Sunday, I have no doubt that we'll come out and win, get our revenge.
And what will be some of the keys for wins this weekend?
We need to come out, play a simple ball. We need to work hard for each other, which I don't think has been an issue at all this season. We've all had that going the entire time. But play a simple ball, play to feet, get the ball wide, and do the stuff that we know we do well and works for us.
Let's talk a little bit about academics and what the future looks for you, and just kind of talk about your major and how things have gone on that side.
Okay, I'm a corporate rec and wellness major and a nutrition minor. I just actually switched to that last fall, so I'm kind of behind. I probably won't graduate until the summer, but classes are going really well. I look to join like a wellness group in Kansas City. I have some connections through there, so trying to do that or the personal training route.
All right. Well, Taylor, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Again, that is Taylor Sellers of the Northwest Missouri State soccer team, lone senior on this year's squad, and a couple big games coming up this weekend on the road for the soccer team. When we come back, we'll turn our attention toward football, as we will talk with the punter for the Bearcat football team, as Kyle Gidburn is with us this evening, and we'll talk to Kyle. That's coming up as the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from downtown Maryville at Carson Sports Grill.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee, located on South Main in Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nelson of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's broadcast comes from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is a proud partner of Bearcat Athletics and is open 24 hours. Located on South Main Street, McDonald's late night menu offers limited breakfast and dinner items from midnight to 4 a.m. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Yeah. And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show. It is Missouri Western Week for the Bearcat football team. And we'll talk Bearcat football here. Kyle Goodburn, senior punter for Northwest Missouri State, joining us. And, Kyle, we've got to make sure and get you in and out before 7 o'clock because I'm guessing Game 7 is highly anticipated for you tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's I couldn't believe it's happened this quick. I mean, I knew it maybe happened, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great game.
And I'm assuming you're a lifelong Royals fan.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah.
Has it been a fun postseason so far?
It's been great. It just that first game against the A's was just amazing. That's still my favorite one so far this postseason, and it's just been a real joy watching them just succeed after all 29 years of not making the playoffs. It's been great.
So does that, as an athlete, a current athlete, when you see a favorite team or something like that have success, does that kind of drive you a little bit in terms of seeing how much fun they're having to get back to the postseason and try to have that fun yourself?
Yeah, it gives you a lot of confidence, I think, you know, watching a team that you really like and enjoy do well, and whatever team you're on, and it just makes you, I want to have that feeling too, and that's what, I mean, I kind of look at it that way.
What's it been like as a senior season? Obviously, you've been through a lot, played a lot, seen a lot, had national championship, that sort of thing, but what's this season kind of been like as, you know, it's the last one in Bearcat Green?
It's been the fastest season for sure. It's gone by super fast, and it's been really fun though, you know, being a senior and leading, you know, the guys on the special teams and even just everybody on the team. And I'm just really trying to enjoy every moment of it because I know I'm not going to have many times like this ever in my life again. So I'm just trying to really enjoy my teammates and what they have to offer and just really enjoy each other's company.
I don't think enough teams or a lot of teams put as much emphasis in special teams as they should. Obviously, you guys do, and the coaching staff does. What's it been like to play for a coaching staff that sees special teams as one-third of the game like it should be?
Yeah, it's like you said, a lot of teams don't. They just kind of put some guys just to get experience on there, but we actually put our, you know, ones and twos, those guys on there, and we just realized that it can change a game if you block a kick or you have a good punt or you make a big field goal and make a big play. It kind of can change the momentum of a game, and our coaches realize that, and it filters down to us, and we realize it, and we do everything we can on special teams to whatever change momentum or make a big play for our step, help our offense or defense.
I've always thought, you know, with special teams, especially punting, is maybe fans don't give it as much respect because they don't understand it as much and everything that goes into it. For you, when you go into a situation where you know you're about to come onto the field to punt, what sort of a process are you going through to get ready to go out there and do the best you can given the situation?
I mean, I try to think about one thing, you know, what I'm like, if we're on the right hash, I'm, you know, if I'm going right or something like that, I'm just trying to think of my steps and, you know, I'm where the returner's at, stuff like that. I'm just kind of focused on, you know, not try to overwhelm myself with a bunch of things. I'm just trying to think of one thing that I can do, and, you know, whether that's to get it high up in the air if they have a good returner, or, you know, if it's to get it inside the 20, try to kick it to the 10 or the 5 or something like that.
You talk about not overthinking, and I think we've seen other teams' punters having to be concerned about who's coming at them. You just talked about how you've got a lot of ones and twos that are on the special teams, those guys in front of you. Does that take one more thing off of your mind that you don't have to worry as much about the pressure?
Yeah, I know our guys on the punt team do a really good job, and I mean, I trust them that they'll block for me and my shield, and they do a really good job too, and it's just I just have a lot of trust in them. I know that they're going to do their job, and I know they're going to run down there and cover, and even if it's a good or bad kick, I mean, I know they're going to make the play and how they should.
Now, I know we've talked about it. Your dad, obviously, a punter for both the Chiefs and Redskins. How big of an influence, how big of a help has he been in your career?
Oh, it's crazy how much he's been able to help me. And, I mean, we talk every night usually about, he watches my film and practice and how, what I'm doing and what I need to do. And he doesn't push me or anything. He just gives me some stuff to help me, like that he sees. And, you know, I just try to do whatever I can to, you know, focus on that. I mean, it's just as big as, it's just like, take shorter steps. He sees that, and it's okay. And then that might be the difference between 10 to 15 yards of my punts. I mean, he just really, it's been really nice to have someone there that, like, knows what he's talking about. And he can just like something like that, he can just change. And it's just really nice.
Tell us about some of the little things that go into it, like how you drop the ball. What are some of the things that go into a good punt? And I guess it would differ whether you're, you know, trying to get one short inside the 10 or if you're trying to hammer one. But what's some of the differences, the intricacies of making sure you get a good punt?
Well, it really starts off with short steps. And then, you know, how you kick the ball, you got to have really fast leg speed. Get up, and you got to make sure you hit high contact. And you also got to point your toe, kind of just point it kind of like this. And, you know, and keeping your head down. I mean, I can get lots of hang times when I keep my head down and my leg swings. I try to think of, you know, when I'm walking, and then when I swing my leg, kind of go up to my right ear so I get that extension. And there's a lot of things to it, and you got to hit the ball on the middle of your foot. And a lot of people think you hit it on the side of your foot to get it to spiral, but if you hit it right, you know, it should be right in the middle of your foot. And with the ball straight, because of the drop, if it's tilted, you know, that's when you get those wobbly ones. And it's pretty, it's not a lot of people realize how meticulous really it is. And I mean, if one thing goes wrong, something bad could happen.
Talk about your experiences during the game. Obviously, you get more of a chance, like the defensive guys don't get a chance to see the offense as much and vice versa. How much of the game are you able to take in and enjoy until it's time for you to take the field?
Well, usually when the defense is on there, I kind of sit back and watch them play. It's fun to watch them because I'm not really getting ready. But once we get the ball back, I kind of go over the net and, you know, get a couple kicks in, depending on where we're on, if we're deep in our territory or something. But, you know, I'm usually, with our offense, how well they play usually all the time, I'm usually a spectator just like everybody else. But, I mean, I'm always ready for whatever. And, you know, I've been holding this year, too, and that's really been, I've been focused in on that, too, this year, which has kind of actually helped me with punting, you know, that I'm kind of making me watch the game. And I mean, I just love doing it too.
Let's talk about that holding. That's a job that I wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, because that's a tough job. Talk about what that experience has been like, and what's it like knowing. I mean, you're kind of the middleman, yeah, but there's a lot of responsibility in that.
I stepped in early in the season when Bryce went down, and I was a little nervous because, like you said, it is kind of high pressure and big games and stuff, but it came with confidence. You know, I've been working on it in practice all the time now, and it's pretty easy, and I've gotten comfortable with Simon and Ben kicking, and it is kind of tough to get used to and do, because it's no one notices it that much either, and they usually focus on, you know, the kick or the snap. But as a kicking unit, we've really developed some good chemistry with there, and it's been working out pretty well now.
What's the hardest part to learn about being a holder, or to, I guess, improve upon being a holder?
Well, you never know where the laces are going to be, because usually when you're a kicker, you don't want to kick the laces. You want the laces out. And sometimes when the snap comes, I catch the ball, and the laces are facing the kicker, so I have to spin it. So it's kind of tough, you know, and you got like 1.2 seconds, you know, to kind of get that spun toward the snapper, and it takes a lot of work, but it, you know, it makes a difference with the kickers.
I guess you'd have to have a lot of trust in that snapper too, to know he's going to get it to you in a spot where you can get all that done in a second.
Oh yeah, and he's done a good job this year with short snapping, but it's been a process, and it's been fun to do, because I haven't I've only just really been a punter, and you know, and now I'm, when the offense is down there, usually I would just hang out, you know, by the net and watch the game. But now I'm, you know, getting ready to hold, and it's been good for me.
Missouri Western Week, obviously with fans, it's always a different feel when it's a rivalry game, whether it's Western or Pitt State or whoever it is. How much of a difference is the feel when you're preparing for a rivalry game?
It is a little different because Missouri Western is a big opponent, and it means a lot to the community, the game does, and we understand that, and it's really fun because, you know, we've had a lot of good games with them in the past couple of years, and it just makes, as a player, it makes you just want to play well. And I mean, but everything really been the same. It's just another week, really, with practice and doing all of our stuff that we usually do. But it's definitely, we want to play well in this game because we know it means a lot to our community.
Is it get easier as you get into your career to try to, because I'm sure treating every game as much the same as you can is pretty important, not getting too high or too low. Does that get a little bit easier as you get further into your career?
Yeah. Once you get into more games, your confidence builds, and you know, it's I've been doing that for the last couple of years. I've been a lot more comfortable, and it's always just, you know, the same, I think. I mean, a lot of people view big games as big game. I just kind of just feel like every game is just an opportunity to get better and get another win.
Well, Kyle, I appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend, and go enjoy Game 7.
I will. Thank you.
That is Kyle Goodburn. He's the punter for the Northwest Missouri State football team. We'll take a timeout and be back with more here in Carson's in downtown Maryville on the Bearcat Coaches Show right after this.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nucor LMP in Maryville, producing steel parts that are used in agriculture, oil production, and the auto industry. Nucor would like to remind you not to text and drive. Don't let your last text be your last words. More at Nucor.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding shops and garages. More at 660-562-0300.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work, as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family-owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information available at 660-582-7196.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Schreck Auto in Maryville. Lou Schreck and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups and oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or at their shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and joined now by the head tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State, Mark Rosewell. And Mark, I know earlier this week there's a big announcement coming out concerning regional rankings for your players, and just kind of fill us in a little bit on how that's turned out for you.
Well, first of all, John, I thought you were going to introduce me as the hot dog vendor.
Is that how you got in last night again, too? Or did you get in the legitimate way, John?
Things have changed a little bit in 30 years. That's a security measure. We actually got the regional rankings for the men. The women have not come out yet, but our women are greatly improved. We had a good fall. Camilla made it to the semifinals of the singles, and they're going to be ranked in there somewhere. I don't know exactly sure where, but I'd say somewhere in the top 8, 10 teams or whatever. We'll see. It should be coming out. But we did get the men's, and we're ranked number one for the third consecutive year in a row. We're happy about that. And then Romaine, who won the IK, obviously is ranked one in the singles. And then Alvaro is ranked two in the singles. So, you know, that's pretty good. And then they're ranked, I think, third in doubles.
And I know that the national rankings will be coming out soon. Obviously, you don't really know at this point how everything's going to turn out on the national level, but it really looks like should have some notice on the national level here.
Yeah, our final rankings for last spring was the team-wise, we were 18th in the country. Is where we finished. You know, I'd say since we're one, we're going to obviously be in the top 20 again, maybe a little bit higher than that. We'll see. What depends on what the other schools are doing and what they've got.
Well, it seems like the fall that you've had on both the for the men and women is something you really build on as you get ready for the spring season.
Yeah, we really have been working hard. Actually, was down there working out today. The weather's really helped us this fall. You know, it's been a great Indian summer where the kids have been able to get outside in the morning, in between the classes, in the afternoon, the weekends, and playing a lot. And that really means a lot to us because, you know, in tennis, like some of the other spring sports and so forth, you know, the ones with the better weather have a huge advantage. They get to play all the time. You know?
And it really seems like the last few years, anyway, the fall has been better than the spring as weather-wise for you guys.
Well, it's just like Coach Bird used to say, much rather have a season in the fall in Maryville than in spring. There's no doubt about that because, you know, we get Omaha's weather. We don't get Kansas City's weather over here. I think it comes through and so forth. And it's pretty tough sometimes trying to even get practice or matches in. But, you know, we play in the fall and the spring both, so it really doesn't affect us.
What will be the strength of the team coming up for the spring?
Well, we've got I was just telling Marshall and Tracy back there, but we've got a young man that's actually going to be eligible in January. That's a very fine player, and he's had to sit out for a couple semesters. I can't say his name, but he's going to certainly come in and help us a great deal. And then we've got good depth on the men's team. I mean, we got other guys and good players. We go about 7 or 8 deep, and that's always good because, like with our women's team, you have a couple injuries, and pretty soon now you're playing up, and it happens in all sports and so forth. And there's not much you can do if you don't have the players. Believe me, I know that.
Yeah, that's when you were talking earlier this year about the depth you have on the men's side. You got some people at your 2 and 3 spots that are giving a run for that number one spot on the team.
They'd be playing number one for most of the other teams in the conference, and and that's a good thing. I mean, you know, it's and they push each other every day in practice, and you know, it's kind of like our football team or other things. You know, when the level gets so high and they're practicing against each other, now the expectations become greater, and that's when you really see improvement.
Now, this past weekend, or I guess 2 weekends ago now, as time kind of flies here with the homecoming activities, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, it's an annual event for homecoming, and got another one of your former players honored moving into the M Club Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Eduardo Jarlene, who played here 20 years ago, actually his niece is playing for us right now, but that was a very, very nice weekend. Coach Tatmeyer came to town, Coach Alsop, and I thought that really went well, you know, all the festivities, and really did a nice job on all of that.
And when you see the Hall of Fame there in the last several years, you've had either some of your teams or some of your other players that you've had go through your program being inducted. I mean, I imagine that means an awful lot to you to see some of the players that you've been able to bring to campus and then be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, thank you, John. You know, I remember years ago talking to Coach Milner, and he used to homecoming was his favorite weekend of the year, and I can relate to that because you have a lot of teams and players come back, and you know you haven't seen them in many years, and they're going on with their life and stuff, and it's just it's a special weekend. There's no getting around it.
And before we let you go here, you're sporting a new Kansas City Royals hat I see here, and taking very good care of that. This is probably a special time for you. Someone that's had season tickets in the past and gets down to a lot of Royals games to see the Royals team make it to Game 7 here tonight.
John, it's incredible. Incredible. Nobody in their right mind could have predicted this. I mean, you always hope and stuff, but after watching bad baseball year after year after year, you know, and they finally got it turned around, and, you know, I hope they win it tonight. It's great for Missouri. It's great for Kansas City. It's great for us because we're the fans, and this is just a wonderful thing.
I know you were able to get to the World Series the last time there 29 years ago and through certain means and enterprising means to get into the stadium, but just kind of talk from your standpoint of seeing the atmosphere at Kauffman Stadium more than Royal Stadium, and maybe compare the two teams here.
Well, you know, it's just electrifying. I mean, I was there last night, okay, and they were just every pitch. It started, you know. I thought I was in St. Louis, but no, just kidding. But you know, the fans are really, really behind them, and blue everywhere. I mean, it was impressive now, and we're all Royals fans to a certain extent, I think. And you know, just seeing the atmosphere and everybody in a good mood and all the things that come with winning and so forth. And for, it's been so long, it really makes you appreciate it. And the young people, you know, that they've never seen the Royals good. You know, I mean, a lot of kids, middle-aged people now, you know, they've never seen a good team. So it's impressive.
All right, Mark, we'll let you go so you can get set for Game 7 here.
All right, John.
Yeah, that's the head tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State, Mark Rosewell. We got more to come on the KXCB KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be joined by the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. That's coming up as the KXCB KRW Bearcat Coaches Show continues from downtown Maryville at Carson Sports Grill. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Dion and Jody Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at CarpetPlus.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville, offering specialty pizzas, pastas, and wings, and a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More at PizzaHut.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Bittersweet Floral and Gifts at First and Main in Maryville, offering floral arrangements for all occasions. Bittersweet also offers scrapbook supplies, silk arrangements, soaps, and gifts. More online at BittersweetFloral.com or at 582-5700. Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville, located at 1528 South Main Street, offering a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for today's game comes from South Paul's Veterinary Clinic in Maryville, offering medical, surgical, and dental care for small breed pets. South Paul's encourages responsible pet ownership and preventative health care. More at 660-582-7387.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and joined now by the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. Mel, this is kind of the beginning of a very busy time of year for the athletic staff on campus, where you have that crossover period of time between football and the winter sports, or the fall sports and the winter sports.
Well, yeah, we've got a lot going on, John. Soccer is finishing up this week. We're done with home soccer matches. We've got volleyball. We've got I think they have six matches left, but only two of those are at home. Basketball, the men have already had a scrimmage. The women's scrimmage this Saturday. The men's scrimmage tomorrow night, I believe, at Mid-American Nazarene, and then the women's scrimmage women's scrimmage Saturday against Nebraska Omaha up there. So we have a lot going on. The first basketball games are coming up in a couple of weeks, and we still got a lot of football to play, and it keeps you busy.
We think about busyness in terms of games as fans, but with facilities, that's probably where it really gets tough, making sure everybody gets the needed practice time.
That's a big factor, and our coaches just work so well together, because inside right now you've got volleyball, you've got men's basketball, basketball, you got women's basketball. They all three, you know, are in the prime of their, you know, basketball is getting ready for their season to start, and volleyball's right, you know, finishing up their season. So they have to have opportunities to practice, and we can use Martindale Gym and you know, and Lambkin, and everybody works together, and we get it done. So Andy Peterson's the magician on that. That's his job to make sure that everybody's scheduled, and Andy's done a great job with that. And so you know, it helps because he's with basketball, and so that's one thing we don't even worry about. We just know that they're going to get it done, and it works out well. And then after Christmas, you know, it gets a lot busier because then you have indoor track in there, and you have about 100 runners going around the basketball arena while they're trying to hold practice, and baseball and softball want to get in there early in the morning or whenever, and football off season. So it gets pretty busy. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this a little bit in the past, but one of the things that really sets Northwest apart from other schools, it really seems, is how well all the coaches and the coaching staff work together to make that work.
Yeah, they really do. Everybody supports everybody, and that's the way it should be. And you know, we're just real fortunate that's the kind of coaches we have. They're all very enthusiastic about their programs, but they're all very supportive of everybody else, and they understand. And you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes I think when you're in a situation like we are, where you don't have everything, you really do appreciate each other, and you try to help each other out. And that's exactly what happens with our staff.
When we talk about teams and sports, we talk a lot about experience and how that makes both players and coaches better, makes the teams better. One of the things you guys have coming up is the Fall Classic down at Arrowhead. Obviously, there's a lot of experience there in terms of the planning. There's a lot that goes into getting that game started. Is having experience working with that now for several years kind of make it more fun overall for you guys as a staff, since maybe it's a little easier than it used to be?
Well, I think it is. You know, I just got in on that the last year was my first year. I mean, the Fall Classic was always a real easy for me because the bus dropped us off at the back door and we went out in the field and played. I didn't think anything of it. So, but there is a lot of work with it. And, you know, 12 years with Pittsburgh State, sharing that game, we really did. You know, Jim Johnson's, I think, an excellent athletic director and a really good friend. And our staff and Pitt State staff really work well together. So now this year it's a new experience because we've got Washburn. And Lauren Free, the athletic director there, has been very good. And their staff, and so you know, we kind of have the floor plan, so to speak, of what needs to be done, and so I think we'll be fine with it. I wish they'd win a few more games. I've never been such a Washburn fan, but I think they'll still bring a lot of people, and it'll be a fun event. And I know our kids are looking forward to it, and our coaches.
Yeah, it's really kind of turned into essentially a second homecoming for a lot of people living in the Kansas City area.
Well, it really is. It's a great gathering place, and you know, it's just. It like you said, it's just a fun event, and people really look forward to it. And I think, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, has been a huge plus for us. And I know, and talking with Coach Doral and with the football staff last year when Pitt made that decision that they weren't going to play us again, they just said, we need to play somebody there, you know. And so we really worked hard to get it to work out with Washburn. And, you know, next year Washburn's actually given up one of their home games. They'll only have four home games. And so, it, you know, they really want to be there. And so that makes it, I think, special, too.
Well, it seems like for all the reasons it's a good fit for Northwest, the same reasons make it a good fit. I mean, Topeka's pretty close to the Kansas City area. And then, as we've always talked about, the Kansas City alumni bases for the school, I mean, it almost seems like a no-brainer for them, too.
Well, I think so. And they're really promoting it. They're doing a great job with their promotion. And you know, I feel bad for them right now because they are 2-6. And that, you know, hopefully they win a couple of games here, these next two games, and come in on a little bit of a roll to get a little bit more excitement from their fans. But you know, their fans aren't used to that. They're used to being very competitive, which they've been every year, and it's just been one of those years. So.
might talk a little bit on the football side here with the regional rankings that came out this week. The Northwest football team ranked number 7 in the region. Still a lot of football left to be played toward the end. But when you look at the rankings now from an athletic director standpoint as well, when you look at the way rankings look right now, what are some of the things that come to mind with this year's rankings?
Well, number one thing comes to mind that none of them mean anything until the last one. So I'm still in that coach's mode. I looked at them. And that's about it. I think that it's all going to work out. Number one, we have to win our games. That's what it's all about. And I'm convinced that if we win three ball games in one way or the other, we're going to be in the playoffs. And all you need to do is begin. It's nice to be one of the top seeds and have the home field, but. We went on the road a few times and did pretty well too. And so, once you're in, you got just as good a chance as anybody else. So I know that, our coaches, that's the way they're approaching it. A lot more important to worry about Missouri Western this week and, Emporia next week and then Washburn and, all those other things will work out.
If you never have to go on the road in the playoffs, you don't get the road dogs, right?
That's right. 2005, we got the road dogs that year and that was a lot of fun. That was probably really for me from a coaching enjoyment. I probably had more fun that year because nobody expected us to do what we did. We just the coaches and the players. We knew we were pretty competitive, and to just keep winning every week on the road. It was just a lot of fun, and I think we've got a lot to look forward to, regardless of where we're at. When the playoffs come around.
You already talked about a lot to look forward to just this weekend. You got Missouri Western coming to town, and that's always a great atmosphere for football, no matter what the situation is.
Well, it will be. Western, they always bring a good crowd. They're always very competitive. We've both, had times when maybe one of us has struggled a little bit, but that game's always, there are very few times that game's gone more than a touchdown or two either way. Now, last year, of course, we got on pretty good, but that's a real exception. And so it's going to be a tough football game. And the fun part of it is our kids know that. They know it's going to be a tough game. And so everybody's going to be ready to play, and it's going to be a great atmosphere. It looks like it's going to be a pretty good day, in the 50s. And so we hope that we pack them in just like we did for Pittsburgh State and Central Missouri.
Speaking of crowd, 11,000 at Bearcat Stadium. You knew when you came to Northwest that someday there'd be 11,000 in that stadium. That's pretty incredible.
Well, it is. And that just says so much about our fans, because about 10,500 of those were our fans. I was disappointed. Really, I was disappointed that Pitt didn't bring more fans. I was kind of surprised. I think maybe we scared them out just in the fact that they thought it was going to be such a tough time getting a seat and that kind of thing. But, no, it was a great crowd. And, like I said, a great tribute to a bunch of loyal fans, alumni, community, parents, everybody involved. And, we wanted to get over that number, and we did. And there'll be times when we're going to get after that number too. So we got a really good thing going on, and we want to keep it going.
All right, Mel, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
And that's the athletic director at Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchwood. We'll be back and wrap up this edition of the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout, as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Hy-Vee. At every home game, Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Hy-Vee, located on South Main in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Today's game is being underwritten by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford in Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at tristatefordlincoln.com or at 660-582-3677.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show as we wrap things up for another edition. Again, coming a day earlier than normal due to Halloween activities downtown tomorrow night. We'll be back with you next week at the normal time, Thursdays at 6 o'clock. And we need to make way here for the Royals game here. A lot of folks here getting ready to watch the big Game 7 matchup with the Royals and Giants. Again, my thanks to everyone involved with their program tonight. Northwest soccer coach Tracy Hosa, along with senior soccer player Taylor Sellers, Northwest punter Kyle Goodburn, Bearcat athletic director Mel Churchma, and Northwest tennis coach Mark Rosewell. For Matt Gorder, I'm John Coffey, and we'll be back with you again next Thursday here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.